Okay, so let's turn back to Acts chapter 20. And you say, wait a minute, I thought you finished that this morning. Well, I did, but we're going back. Okay, what I thought I would do this afternoon is I wanted to just cover, I wanted to go over the whole farewell sermon, just all in one piece. And then and just sort of pick up the big themes, sort of putting it all together. And as I started to do this, I thought, I was trying to, bring in there. There's so many things in my notes. I have pages and pages of notes on these verses. And I thought, I can't preach all of that all again. I already did all that. So I just wanted to pick up some themes, and that's what we're going to do. But first, let's read the sermon beginning in verse 18 of Acts chapter 20. I'm not going to have it on the screen just yet, so if you want to follow along in your Bibles, and then I'll have portions of it on the screen as we go through. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know from the first day that I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly from house to house, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, bound by the Spirit, I am on my way to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit solemnly testifies to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions await me. But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will no longer see my face. Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I do not cease to admonish each one with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands have ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner you must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" All right, so that's our whole message. Now, as I was working through this, and I thought, what do I want to say that I haven't already said? Especially some of those sections I put a lot of sermons into just a couple of verses. So as I was going through it, I came up with four summary propositions I'd like to give you. Oh, is the bus here for Dorothy? Is that what it is? Oh, okay. All right. So, well, that will be a little interruption. That's okay. I can always cut it out of the recording. You know how that goes. All right. So I as I said, I made the outline. I have four summary propositions. And with each one of these, I then gave it a one word summary. And, a summary of the summary. And each of these ideas are important, I think, for church ministry. And in a way, as I was thinking about this, I was trying to think about how to put it all together. Give it a unifying theme. Give it a proposition for the whole message. And I found it really hard to put these four ideas into one unified idea. And so I thought about it some more, and I thought, well, really, what these are four mini sermons. As we go through the Paul's message, and there are things that I think we should think about as we move on past this farewell address by the Apostle Paul. So we're going to work our way through. So for the first section that I want to look at is verses 18 to 21. All right, and so he's talking about what they knew about his ministry, how he served the Lord, and he did not shrink from declaring it was profitable, solemnly testifying, and all these things. All right, so the first point that I'm going to make, first summary point, the church advances through fearless ministry. So there's a couple of phrases that I'd like to point out. In verse 19, he says, he was serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. And the ministry that Paul engaged in was a ministry in the face of opposition, often strenuous opposition. In the morning message I was reading over there in Acts 19, and there was that statement about how that Paul had gone to the synagogue and preached there for a period of 3 months until the Jews began to contradict and began to cause problems for him. And we know that every place that Paul went, as he went in his missionary journeys, he would always go to the synagogue first. He would preach there. Some would be won to the Lord, maybe more in one city than another, but some would come to the Lord. And apparently a significant number of Jews in Ephesus believed. But in any case, eventually what would happen is that those Jews who would not accept Jesus as Messiah would then begin to express opposition. Now the record that we have in Acts 19 about Paul's ministry in Ephesus doesn't have any record of Jewish opposition other than that one verse, a very general verse talking about the Jews contradicting the ministry of the Apostle Paul. But Paul was there in Ephesus, as he says, for 3 years. And so if there was, it is very likely that not only did he experience the riot caused by the Greek idol makers that is recorded in Acts 19, but it's also very likely that there was Jewish opposition. And so just as in other places, the church advanced through fearless ministry. He said he served the Lord with the trials which came upon me through the plots of the Jews. And then down in verse 20 he says, I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable. So he didn't hold back the intimidation, the opposition that he experienced didn't cause any hesitation in him. So if you're going to summarize my summary with a one word, what word would you suggest? Summary of the church advances through fearless ministry through one word. Anybody want to take a guess? It will be revealed in just a second. Cullen. Courage. Oh, Cullen got it. Cullen got it. Or was it Sean who got it? I'm not sure. All right. Courage. Okay, courage. Now, all that means is you can read my mind, I guess. All right, so I have a comment from one of my commentaries here. He says, it is striking that Paul reminded the Ephesian elders of his trials through the plots of the Jews. As I said, the narrative of his Ephesian ministry in Acts does not relate any specific Jewish plot against him, though such plots occur frequently in the overall story of Paul's mission at Pisidian, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Thessalonica, Berea, and Corinth. So many plots, many challenges, many difficulties throughout the New Testament. And church history is filled with stories of opposition. And we don't have to go that far back in church history, really, to find these kinds of stories. And we've heard in my years, especially the training years, we often had speakers coming into our chapel at Bible college. I remember hearing Georgi Vince, who was imprisoned in Russia because he was preaching the gospel. And there are others you've probably heard of who experience the same things. Yet, in spite of all of that, I've noticed my spell checker or my grammar checker doesn't like in spite of. It's despite of. Despite of all that, the church advances. The Christians keep going. You know, the Russian opposition, you know, we read about it and it's sort of hard to imagine. And yet they just kept preaching the gospel. And the church kept going. So the church advances through fearless ministry. That's the first mini sermon in this sermon. The next one, it comes from verses 21 through 24. So the key phrases that I'm going to emphasize, solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God, faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we spent a long time on that message. That was, it's a powerful, powerful statement of what saving faith is. Repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 24 talks about, I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord. What is that ministry? To testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And so here's my summary of this section. The ministry consists of solemn gospel testimony. The courage is not just simply defying the state or defying the Jews or defying, you know, the Gentiles. It's not just simply, you know, a belligerent attitude. Well, you know, you can't make me. There's something that animates this courage. And that animation is the gospel ministry, or my one-word summary. Does anybody want to try to guess my one-word summary? You're all intimidated. Proclaim, pretty close. Pretty close. Message is what I put. But close enough. Okay, but here's the thing. We have a message. You like yours better? Very good. That's quite all right. But we have a message that is the center of everything that we do. And that's what gives us courage. That's what we hold on to. It gives us the courage. You know, Gamaliel said, if this thing be of God, you can't stop it. I'm paraphrasing. But if it's of men, it'll die of itself. You know, you might get somebody who'll get up and cause a bunch of trouble and lead some people and cause a ruckus, and it's all centered in nothing. Think of the riots in Seattle that happened last year, and they had this autonomous zone, and we're all... And of course, it was just horrible, everything that was going on. Well, you know, it fell apart. They couldn't sustain it. They had no message. But the Christian church persists for 2,000 years. Why? We have a message. So there's real courage. It's not just bravado. It's not just standing up and I'm the man and you can't tell me. No, it's, well, we're just going to tell the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a message. And so that's the preaching of the New Testament, and it's so important. All right, and so the next section, 28 to 31, that was the be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock, that section, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things. Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that day and night, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears. And so the summary statement here is, ministers must be aware and on guard against enemies. Okay, so be on guard, be on the alert, watch for wolves without and perverse speakers within. All right, and so I have a one-word summary here. Ministers must be aware and on guard. Okay, Sean wants to try it. Vigilance. Okay, well, that's a good one, too. I put opposition. That's what I put. You probably like yours better. All right, but that's good. Yours was good. Okay, but this is absolutely, and I have a couple of other verses that I want to share as well with this one. 1 Timothy 4:1-2, but the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. I mean, what a statement. There's another one like it in 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, though they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. All right, so there's opposition and be vigilant. All right, so that's good. I like that, Sean. I should have had you write this. Anyhow, okay, so then one more section, and that is the last little bit. Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you, that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so my summary statement is, the conduct of the ministry involves self-sacrifice. So these hands ministered, and I showed you that by working hard, you must help the weak. All right, one more one-word summary. You know, anybody want to try? Pardon me? Humility. Well, that's a good one, too. Very close. I have dedication, is what I put. But those are good. That's good. Now, you think about this. You know, all of these things, and probably, actually, I like Sean's better, vigilance. I like that better. Because those are things that we can do. Opposition is going to be there, but vigilance. What was yours? I forget. Proclaim. Okay, that's something we can do too. Okay, so the things that we can do, we can have courage. We can proclaim a message. We can be vigilant because of opposition and dedication. Dedication. And Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 4:9-13. He says, "For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty, and we are poorly clothed and roughly treated and are homeless, and we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to reconciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now." What a statement. Think about what the apostles endured, what the Lord Jesus Christ himself endured for the sake of the ministry, for the sake of this church which he loved and bought with his own blood. What a message. And we have the privilege and the opportunity to participate in that message. Now, we need these things. Courage, proclamation, message, proclamation of the message, vigilance in the face of opposition, dedication. We need all those things. We need all those things. And these, I think, are some of the main ideas contained in Paul's farewell message. Each of these points will apply in our own circumstances in different ways. Now, we aren't facing the Roman Empire. We aren't facing the synagogues of Satan, as Paul calls them in one place. But we are facing a world that opposes the gospel. They laugh and mock and scorn. And there are some who will become so angry if you proclaim that they will do things to try to cause trouble. It can be difficult to hold a Christian testimony in some jobs. People find out you're a Christian, there might be somebody who tries to drum you out of that particular position. So there's different ways that it can be applied. But each of these ideas help us think about what concerned Paul for the churches as he looked forward into their future. He knew what was coming for them, and they needed these things. And he became a great example for them and for us. Well, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer as we close. Our Father, we thank you for this time that we've had today. We thank you for this passage of Scripture, how it has spoken to us. Lord, I pray that as we let these words sink down into our ears and into our hearts, that we would be serious Christians, that we would be following you with our whole hearts and not wavering and not shirking in the responsibility, but doing everything we can to serve you in this place for until Jesus comes. Lord, we pray you'll just guide in all that we're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.